Welcome to the Ross L and Luke Show. My name is Ross Pepper. Almost 15 years ago, I discovered we are all infinitely more powerful than we realize. And now it's my life's purpose to help you discover your greatness. Alistair McDonald.
Hi, Ross.
Al has founded multiple businesses, including one he recently took from startup to 50 mil turnover. He works as a business coach, helping teams achieve powerful results. And we have Luke Farrar.
Hello.
Luke is the CEO and founder of LF Signs. He loves sales so much, I think he'll never give it up. So he'd best introduce himself.
Yeah, so I'm an all-around nice guy, great salesman, funny as fuck, extremely good looking. And I don't know what modesty is as yet, but I'll find it eventually. Thanks, mate.
The three of us are Aussie blokes, we're dads, and we're entrepreneurs. Between us, we've made a lot of mistakes and learned a few things about life, love, relationships, and business. And we're here to share those with you. You may get three different perspectives, or you may get one universal agreement. But whatever you take away from today, you can be absolutely guaranteed we enjoyed delivering it to you. Welcome, gentlemen, to episode number 47. And
47?
Yeah.
47.
I was just watching the monitors and seeing the levels change, but not the wave.
Yes.
It just caught my attention for a second.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, the wave pops up after the recording.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just to give everyone some context, you're just looking at a screen.
So, sorry, that's why I was lost for a second.
Whereas if you look at the phone, you'll see that it's actually got the wave.
The recording equipment.
Yeah. Well, that's the backup.
Yeah. Give it some context.
That's the backup. So the backup is the phone. And we did actually use the phone. That used to be our primary recording for... device for our early podcast.
We did. Stepped up now.
You can tell me whether you think the audio is better or worse, or what you think of that.
I like the early days where I could just sit in a car and open doors and just have background noise and
mow the lawn. And hey, fellas, it might cut in and out. And then there's this 30-second delay in reply, and everyone starts talking over each other. It didn't work for me, Al.
No.
I just keep talking.
I deferred to your wisdom.
No, we tried it. We tried it, right?
We did.
Yeah.
But that's it. See, I like a forum where I can just fucking talk and ignore everybody else.
Well, that's how it should be, right? Yeah. It's just Al's podcast. Yeah.
I thought that was just Al's life.
Ross and Luke, they're just bookends, all right?
Yeah, sure. As long as it starts and ends appropriately, everything in between doesn't matter because that's what people remember, Al. The start and the end.
Actually, some of my favourites have been where I have sat here and not said very much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because what was going on in my head every time was, gee, I'm not adding any value. I'm not contributing. I'm not, but sometimes it was just the right thing to just observe. And
Well, one of the wisest things is that we can do as a human is to not talk.
Shit.
What, you're in trouble?
Yeah. I could say less. Just put it that way. There's people there that would champion that.
I think the podcast would be really boring, though, if we were just sitting here listening.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you don't want to sit there and all these reserved guys not thinking about what they're saying. But, I mean, look, it's a podcast. A nice life. I like to communicate. I got told last night that I point a lot. And then, I'm like, really, do I? What are you talking about? I was pointing.
He goes, you do a bit.
And I go, well, good. I've got some awareness around that. He's like, putting your hand up like that as a obviously people deal with things a little bit differently. I don't like pointing.
Yeah,
and we saw a guy on site, one of our contracting teams, and he's pointing at his guy, and that's how the conversation came up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that actually brings me into some content that I had no idea that we're ever going to talk about on this podcast.
Okay, sure.
Especially because it's a visual thing.
Yeah.
So as a public speaker, I know a handful of body gestures that make a difference in conversation.
Yeah.
And the pointing is actually referred to as the bully.
Yeah.
And that's why people don't like it when you point at them. They feel, like they're being bullied. And if you want to test this out, by all means, grab someone nearby and start testing this stuff out. Have a chat to them and say, hey, look, I want to test these things out. First of all, get them to point at you and you'll feel it. You'll actually feel someone pointing at you. And I can do it in here. And I can point at you.
He's
guys.
Threatening, yeah.
Yeah, you're feeling, can you feel the point?
Well, they say it's almost like a gun, it's being pointed at you.
Sort of and there's different ways as well. So you can get kind of more intense about it or... Oh, yeah. You felt that one, did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Was that the pre-show?
No, that's the hands up. So we'll get to that one, but we'll stick to the bully for the moment. The bully
is a great way to make a point. But when you're pointing at a person, they feel bullied. So what you can actually do, instead of pointing at a person, you can point at something else, like at the ground, you can point at the sky, you can close your fist so you're not pointing at anybody, and moving your fist up and down strengthens that point. Like it's showing the strength as you do that. And you can put it in your hand as well, and you can hear that noise now. So you can really, you know, hammer that point home. So that's the bully. So if you want to make a point, a strong point, then use the bully. But try to avoid pointing at people unless you really want to bully them.
No, just...
Al's lost it.
Oh, yeah. I can remember so many board meetings where I just slammed my fist on the desk. And it wasn't contrived, but I absolutely was taking charge of that freaking meeting, and it was going to freaking happen my way there and then.
Right. Yes, it was.
See, this is what was going on for me the whole time. The bully, I'm thinking, bully, what's a bully?
Yeah.
There's so much more above bully. There's
Hey,
so
Luke, have much you got a mirror for him?
Oh, no. All right. With all respect, I'm what bullies are scared of.
So you're the ultimate bully is what you're saying?
No. There's more than that. There's more than that.
Out comes the finger.
So absolutely. But I was pointing at God.
You were pointing, though.
I was pointing at God, saying there's more than that.
You're pointing. Yeah, okay, so, the bully. Yeah.
So there you go. So, and look, absolutely, when I was at school, I was bullied, you know, it was my life for a good 16 years, like in a physical sense.
Yeah, well-practiced.
Well-practiced. However, what I learnt at 16 in the locker room was that a level above bully is taking what a bully has to give and then, whatever, laughing at them, ridiculing them, belittling them verbally.
Yeah.
So, now, here's a clue for a lot of people, women and blokes, probably more blokes, and it took me a long time to realise this. I was proud of the fact I didn't throw a punch after 16.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Pussy. Because up until then, I was proud of the fact that I landed a lot of punches.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Then this is you know, I think we've touched on this many times. It's like our awareness can change so much. And really, again, one of the recipes for life is just change your perspective. If you can change your perspective on something, it can change your world. Really.
A really great exercise for that. If you're struggling to communicate with someone, what I suggest you do is you put two seats down and you actually swap seats. Now, if you struggle to be successful with the other person there, just do it alone and put yourself into their chair.
Right.
And actually play their role within it and see how they're experiencing the interactions with you.
And the harder you find to put yourself in the other person's shoes, the more fucked up you are.
Yeah.
Not them. I'm just saying that bluntly because this is where I've been. I'll just finish what I was going to say and then I'm going to shut up again for a bit because I was enjoying listening. Thing is, this is important though because I'm learning that I've got a role to play sharing what I've learned because at 48, I'm starting to learn a whole lot of stuff that I think a lot of, again, blokes especially, are not learning.
No.
And so...
It's such a gap.
I was proud of not landing punches. I'm not throwing punches anymore.
Mm, yeah.
And I was proud of the fact that I could own any bitch by just treating him like a bitch.
Yeah.
So the trouble is, I then went on for the next nearly 30 years of my life just treating people like a bitch.
Yeah, okay.
And I mean, in that term of, you know, the American kind of street slang bitch, you know, like,
yeah, just okay.
If I can own that person verbally,
it's a different type of
bully. I don't need to have a fight. Yes. See, I thought I was doing well.
Yeah.
Right? In a world that was contentious from my perspective. See, what people don't understand, I'm 6'3", I'm 100 and whatever kilos, I come across as a bully. I landed on this one in a podcast I did a little while back. I am actually a teddy bear that acts like a grizzly bear, right? And the trouble is that only, I'm just going to say this bluntly, only the people that care to look can see that.
Mm.
Most people don't care to look because they've got their own stuff going on. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's just people don't care to look.
Well, the it's interesting for us to be able to be a bully and then go to higher stages of that, we have to have mastered the ability of being the bully, like the being the warrior, being able to protect ourselves. We have to master that to move on.
Okay.
So for anyone out there who's rejecting their own power Okay, they're saying, oh, I don't like, you know, bullies. I don't like, and you can label it as violence or whatever the model was in your world growing up. Okay, so we have models of this in the world. I went to an all-boys school. There were no good versions of it there. So I've rejected the warrior, but that was a bad thing to do. I need to embrace my warrior. I need to accept that I am a warrior. I am strong and I am capable. Every single human on the planet, if you haven't got that about yourself yet, start figuring out how to get that about yourself, because your life isn't going to change dramatically until that you discover that you are actually powerful and potent. And this bully thing is so ego-driven. Like, it's an external thing. The bully's very external and very ego-driven. And there's been situations in my life where I've had people that have tried to, you know, there was a time when someone tried to mug me, right? We're walking down the street and they tried to mug me. And they had their shirt off and they had it over their hand like they're carrying a weapon. I looked at them and I saw them actually stepping in front of me on the footpath. And I thought, okay, here we go. And I thought, well, the best way to handle this, he's going to try and threaten me physically. Okay, he's going to try to be the bully in this situation. So I looked at him. I looked him in the eye. I looked down to his shirt that he looked like a weapon. I looked him all the way down and all the way back to his eyes. And then I just looked at him with this, you mean nothing to me, and looked away. And then I turned my head so far away that if he'd walked in front of me, I would have actually walked into him. I couldn't have seen him step in front of me. Of course, my adrenaline's up and my heart's pumping as I'm bursting out of my chest. I thought, what's going to happen here? but I let him know that he was so far beneath me, even if he had a weapon, that he meant nothing to me. And that was how I was able to be the bully in that situation. And then when we went past him, his girlfriend was behind us following, and you could hear them arguing. She's like, what did you do? Why'd you let them go? Blah, blah, blah. Right? And this young guy's like, I don't understand what just happened. I have a weapon, or here I am with my shirt off, and you know, and this guy just ignored me, like I meant nothing. So this kid is going through this situation of, I've just been treated like I'm nothing, and I thought I was the big bully here. So much of it is ego based. All of this bully and bravado is ego based, and that's exactly what you were saying there, Al, about. You used to be a physical bully. You used to throw your fists around. Mm. And then you're like, you know what? I don't need to throw my fists. I can be a bully to a bully who throws their fists. Mm. And I don't even need to get physical about it.
Mm.
And it's just another level of the ego saying that I'm bigger than you.
Mm. However, I thought I was doing well.
Well, you are, because that's a growth. That is growth.
Yeah, see, now, though, I look back and say, I can do better. I guess you're right.
You can, and you keep growing, and hopefully you evolve out of that. Yeah. And not being violent, I think, is a great step forward. So I think it's good to know when to use the bully and when not, but mastering the ability to not have to get physical and still be able to be better than someone, because that's really what's going on. It's the ego saying, hey, I am strong, I am powerful. I don't know what would have happened if we got into a fight with that young guy. He probably would have trashed me. I was ready to throw the first punch, though. If he'd said anything, I would have just smacked him in the face. I wouldn't have. That would have been it. Like, I was ready to just punch that kid as hard as I physically could.
But he might have. You know, it might have been a combination of that. It depends in which arena you're in. Like, you know, now that we're in business and we're all grown up, it's a little bit different. You know, bullying, you can definitely still see it.
I
see it because I deal with multiple trades, different sites and all the rest of it. And, you know, I really think the way the bully is fed is when everyone's become subservient to them and they accept that that's the behaviour and that's okay, well, that's what I know. God, I've got it again, and you know what I mean? It's not a great relationship for anyone. And we see it a lot on, you know, job sites.
Yeah.
I don't feed it at all. I'm very upfront, stick to the facts. And you see it all the time. And the difference is that people say to me, well, how did you go with him? You know, yeah, well, I just said this is what we need to do. This is why we're here to do it. Did he put his foot down? I said, oh, I think so. He had words to say. Oh, well, that's just him. You know, we accept it. I go, okay, I don't know the guy.
Mm.
Yep. So I'm just here to do this. Well, there might be some issues. Well, cool, if there's issues, we drag it up and just, you know, have it out. But
that's why they pay us the big bucks.
That's right. And then all of a sudden, and I really feel that it's not sucking up people's asses, but getting them on side. Hey, you look busy, man. How's things? You know, geez, you must, yeah, must be a bit going on here. And they're now, like, oh, okay.
Now, I don't,
so, but it's more just getting on a level playing field.
I'm getting better at picking up on this. That is not an authentic way, is it?
Sucking up. No.
How about acknowledging?
It's perceived as.
How about acknowledging?
Yeah.
How about acknowledging the guy's skills or traits or?
Oh, they'll see that as disingenuous straight away. If no, you sit there and go,
not if it's real. Not if it's real.
Yeah.
Not if it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there because he can do something.
Yeah. It just can be perceived the way, I mean, me personally, the way I approach it is that they're going, oh, he's a nightmare to deal with.
Mm.
9 times out of 10, me and that guy are like peas in a pod in the end. And he's respectful and we're respectful to each other. And that's more because I do get him on side, and that's what people can see as sucking up. I'm not doing whatever he wants to do. I'm doing what I need to do to ensure that our team succeeds and his team and the dynamic changes.
I think we're in agreement. I misheard you.
Yeah, yeah, so, but some people can perceive that, especially people accepting this bully bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't accept an arsehole. If you're an arsehole, you're an arsehole and I'll call it, but this is what we're here to do. Yeah. So that aside...
So for our listeners,
be professional about it.
What I'm hearing these guys talk about right now is actually aligning the goal. So when you're dealing with someone who's in that warrior or bully state, they're in a kind of rebellious place, but they want something to happen. Like they kind of have expectations in the way they want things to go. If you can align what they want and what you want, they're on board. They're going to be a supporter for you. So when you've got this warrior. Okay, on your side, it makes it really easy. And the two of you can produce really great work together. So if you've got someone like that in your workplace, look how to align their goals and your goals, and they'll be way more supportive.
And communication, so that's a big key in any area, any facet. That's what I found there. And that's the hard thing.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, well, and being vulnerable. You know, and clearly communicating, because you've had those instances where, you know, you talk, you feel you're on the same page, and then a week or two later, these things come out and you're going, well, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really confused now. Because is it, you know, people are not familiar with communicating on such a open level. I'm very open. Someone says I'm not coping, ... I'm like, cool. So what I'm hearing, you know, is this big week. Long day, you know what I mean? Let's give it some perspective. No one's going to die. No one has died. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. Yeah. And it'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it fucking won't. I can't find the tool. This isn't right. That's not right. And I'm going, cool. So you just need to go and have a bit of a breather. Is there anything I can do to help you?
Mm.
Yeah? Anything you need? No, there's not much you can do. On the other end of the phone, I said, wow. Okay. There you go. There's that little, okay, so what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And still people find that, you know, they call it, I've been called cryptic, rhetorical. Yeah? Oh, wow. You know, I'm like, wow. Yeah? You know, people get paid for me to help you, like coach you, to be a good self-manager. It's amazing, isn't it? And you get paid as well. It's like, yeah, and that's, I'm like, it's that dichotomy. And then at the end of the, you know, 2-3 weeks when you work with someone, all this stuff comes out and you go, well, where was that? We would have saved all this time if this was just put on the table and communicated in the first place.
But people are defensive. They just are. That's just how we are in life. We feel like we're under attack. In fact, it's such a big issue in today's society that you're just going to get attacked by other people.
Yeah.
That's part of the rebellious warrior. Like, they're always looking for a fight. That's that phase that I want you to get through quickly.
Yeah.
But I need you to get that about yourself, that you're infinitely powerful. And the faster you can get that you're infinitely powerful, and therefore you don't have to be a victim anywhere at any time, the sooner you get that, the sooner you can get to the really good stuff, where you can start being awesome with people. You can start loving people. You can start being a warrior for the good stuff that you want in your life. And maybe that's just the place to start. You say, hey, I want the two of us to have an amazing relationship. Great. Be a warrior for that. Fight for that relationship to be amazing.
Yeah.
That's a really great place to start fighting. So once you do that, you can start having the higher conversations that Luke's talking about right now, where you can actually be there for someone. But unfortunately, to get to that space, because everybody's in this, in like they're all acting like they're under attack, because that's kind of where we are in the world right now, and we need to get past that. So the more people that can show more love and respect, the faster we're going to get past it. So as an example of how bad this is, whenever you run a seminar, I was taught this by someone who runs all sorts of workshops and things, and it's been invaluable. When you bring a heap of strangers, when you bring a heap of strangers together in a room, let's say you've got you're running a seminar, a workshop, there's 100 people in that room. There's 100 people in that room carrying a club. Every single person that's walked into that room is carrying a club looking to defend themselves.
And that's rhetorical, by the way.
Or are they? Or are they? Huh? Is it a club or is it a, you know?
Now, as the person at the front of the room, it's our job to help them put that club down. Tell them that it's okay and it's safe. You're around my campfire and I will protect you in here. You are safe. And to be able to put that down, they need to have enough faith in you that you can control that campfire. Not just yourself, but everybody in that room. You need to be able to control all of that so that they are safe in that space and they can all put their clubs down, come around that campfire together and really get some juicy value from it. And that's what it's like in life. So if you meet anybody, know that they're carrying a club, okay, until you can help them put that club down around you. So that's what you're experiencing. Somebody who's been through life defending themselves.
Yeah, and I see that firsthand, you know, exactly. And you point that out, you know, the environment you've come from is very different to the environment you're in at the moment. So it may seem a little bit unfamiliar and it might be hard to grasp that if you crash a company vehicle on your first week, that the boss has gone, oh, no problem. Just follow the process of, you know, exchanging details. Is anyone hurt? No, we're all good. Can drive a car? Great. So just move on to the next job. We'll sort it out tomorrow. Oh, is that it? Yeah, we'll just talk about tomorrow. It's all good. So no one's died, have they? No. Oh, okay. And they think, shit, that's not right.
What's going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to have a job tomorrow.
Cryptic, rhetorical, yeah. It's like, because they can't see it. You're right. They've got that club. And then, it takes a little bit to get used to.
Mm.
But, you know, I think that people showing that vulnerability, opening the doors faster.
Mm.
Well, this is what we spoke about earlier. Environment.
Yeah.
So if people are shown this is a different environment to what you're used to. Now, we wouldn't do it this way, but just to keep it simple for now. People are shown, you know, over at the front door, there's a rack. You put your club in there when you walk in, and then by all means grab it again when you walk out the door, because I know you need it out there. Yeah. But in here you don't need it, because we do things differently.
And it's being clear on that. That's 100%. I think Gary V said something like that, because he said that people want that environment, but he goes, what they're prepared to actually give back in the way of doing the work to become part of that environment is night and day. You know, and even when you have that discussion with someone, they're like, yeah, 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 100%, 100%. Challenges surface, all the rest of it. And so, well, remember we had this discussion, right? When you're here, that club goes down. Yeah. So they're always looking, oh, there's something not right. There's a back room somewhere where something goes on that I don't know about, yeah? No, they're always looking for something. So their bullshit radar's always on the go. Yeah. Again, they're completely offline. They're not thinking
straight. But it's training.
Yeah.
And it's time. In the book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, they talk about, there's a quote in there, with people, fast is slow. So if you try and be quick, you're going to find the club. But if you take your time and you show the vulnerability and you really support them, then they're going to be able to put that club down. And I really love what you said there, Al, about telling them to put their club down. Like actually kind of creating that as a thing. I think it's a really great way to get people on board. Hey, we don't carry our clubs around in here. We put them down at the door. The thing that I would probably adjust slightly is when you said pick it up on the way out, because I know you need it out there. I'd say, and it's optional whether or not you pick it up on the way out.
Fine.
Just to say, hey, spread this to the rest of the world. This isn't some magical little pocket you're not going to find anywhere else. Be responsible for actually, carrying it. You know, maybe have a net to catch everybody instead. Leave the club there, grab a net to bring other people in on this new way of living.
I like that club analogy. And just let them know that you'll frisk them down for those hidden clubs you're going to have for the next month.
Well, you know,
their back pocket.
The reason why people are wondering about the dark back room is because You are.
I didn't say it was dark.
We, hang on. Sorry. we all want to be in an environment where there's no clubs.
Yeah.
And we all are, at times, are invited to leave the club at the door. And we all say, there's mine, I'll put it there. And then we all conceal one in our sock or our back pocket, including you.
To protect ourselves.
Yeah. So the reason why they think there's this room or whatever it is, whatever the room is because you still have a club too.
Yeah.
A kosh. You know, the kosh is the little club. So part of that environment is an acknowledgement, hey, guys, what I'm asking you to do is as difficult for me as it is for you.
And I expect you to hold me accountable to it as well.
And so the rules are, if my club comes out,
here's
how we deal with that too.
And know that the clubs will come out. And they'll come back.
They may.
In. No, they will. Like
Ross,
even.
Well, Ross is right. Rather than putting, asking for it to happen, it may. In the event that it does.
Oh, and 100% it will.
In the event that it does, or in the event that it does.
Don't say 100% that it will.
Because then you're commanding. No, it will though. You're commanding it now.
Yes. You're now demanding that it happens.
So if I sit there and you're making it. And he's very good at taking it.
And you're making it more okay.
So here's there you go, wall.
We didn't really do the hand signals. We got stuck on the bully.
So say we face something like a reprimand. Right, you've come into this. You've clearly got your club in your hand. We've spoken about the club. I'm not okay with the club. Do you know what I mean?
Well, do you know what the first issue is?
Yeah.
An environment with no clubs never has a reprimand. Never.
But acknowledging that we may go back to having our club.
Hang on. So listen, Luke, we've got some resistance here at the moment. Yeah. this is where I go into mentoring. I think I understand what's going on for you, but let's put that aside because that's my opinion. At the end of the day, this is what I'm saying. We will have a club no matter what we say we're going to do. Potentially.
But we don't have to,
potentially.
Right?
Yeah, we do not have to.
Yeah.
And we can practice putting ours down. We can practice not fiddling with it. We can practice that when it's not there, we're still okay. We can practice that. And in fact, as the leader of the business, we have to practice that if we want our business to be that.
And Gandhi proved that you don't have to have a club.
Yes.
No, and that's and to add to what you were saying is that, and when that club does arise, to know that it's okay when it does, you know, and we can go back to
in the event that it does, here's how we disarm ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, here's how we call a truce. We sit down on chairs. Whatever it is we do.
We don't all pull out our clubs.
Yeah.
Yep. We definitely do not pull out our clubs.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing you could do. And Gandhi proved that. He removed British rule in such an extraordinary short amount of time without a single piece of violence.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling. Like what he was capable of doing. So that's an example of what putting your own club down can be.
And I think it's more extreme than that. Not only was there no violence, it's easy to say there's no violence. More to that, he didn't try and change anything or anybody.
Yeah.
He said, here's what I want, and here's what I'm prepared to do myself if I don't get what I want.
Yeah.
And he was prepared to die for that.
So that was,
so I'll give up my life if I don't get this.
Yeah.
And
an extraordinary level of love for other humans.
And he didn't say, oh, you all think I'm great. You know, he wasn't like a politician. You all think I'm great.
Yeah.
Therefore, you must do what I want. He just said, here's what I want and here's what I'll do if I don't get it.
Yeah.
And he relied on the fact that he built the relationship that people would.
Oh, that's a more simplified way of the club analogy. Is it? Yeah. Mm.
The club comes out and you go, you know what? I think you're amazing and you don't need that club. You're way more powerful without it.
I'm not there.
He loves his club.
Mate, I reckon, you know those movies, those sort of spoof spy movies where they pull out 15 different weapons or whatever?
Yeah.
I reckon I've got 10 times that.
Yeah,
I reckon I've got some that are hidden so well, I don't remember where they are.
Jeez.
But
he's got a matrix number of them.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Big, too big.
But all I know is in a stash, I can just reach on automatic pilot and it'll come. I've always got one.
Yeah.
And the thing is this, everybody around me that knows me at all knows that they're there too. And they know that even when they see me put down 50, I've got another one hidden somewhere.
But is that? Why?
No, that's what I'm just learning.
Yeah.
I thought in the last few years.
I wouldn't have. If you put a club out on me, like not like a physical club, but if you're like, I'd be like, is everything all right? Like, because.
Sure. However, Luke, if we spend enough time together and go through enough stuff together,
yeah.
it's going to happen. Possibly.
But I'd still, yeah, but...
He just shared with you that he slams his desk on in the middle of a meeting in a corporate situation.
Oh, yeah. Mate, I effing blind and call people stuff, and I bring out the absolute schoolyard behaviour in the boardroom.
But I'd still feel comfortable to just say, hey, what's going on?
Sure.
Not from a smart-ass condescending, a level of, I care.
Yeah, yeah.
I potentially know that this isn't you, and sure, we haven't experienced like a full lifetime together, but I'd still be okay to call it out. But if I didn't know you on a deeper level, I would somewhat be concerned.
Well, and there's a clue. And there's
I'd probably be a bit quieter. And,
there's a clue. Yeah. It's the way you said it before, right? People are not comfortable putting their clubs down because they just don't trust what they're told.
Yeah.
There's the clue. Once there's a deep rapport, once there's a deep understanding, a deep connection, a deep belief, then people can start to trust it.
Yeah.
Well, there's too many people with the club in their hand, behind their back, as they put the other hand out to shake.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they're only shaking with one hand. They're not shaking with both hands. They're shaking with one hand because the other one's holding the club.
Didn't you know, Ross, now you can have drone-driven clubs, so you can stand there with both hands exposed and have a drone above their head ready to smash.
Yeah, someone behind them and you just give them the nod. Crunch!
That's right.
Yeah, put out both hands, take both their hands. Yeah. I've got him, quick, slobber him,
Exactly. So excellent. It's, look, I, my impression of the way you do things, and let's not be judgmental or whatever, but in simplistic terms, the way you do things is way advanced to the way I've done. So,
well, it's just different. It's not.
Well, again, I'm not worried about the judgment. Yeah, yeah. The point I'm making is this. Like, you've focused on your evolution, let's say, as much as the success of your business. Let's just leave it as a simple equation.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
While I was only ever focused, and here's the irony, I didn't care about success. I didn't want success. All the things I didn't want, I did with absolute vigor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I wasn't bothered about how I was. It didn't even occur to me that it mattered how I was.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I've always gotten what I wanted, and ultimately there's a way.
That's the way it was, yeah.
There's a way. There is a way, and it just takes more of whatever. I don't even know what it is, but I'm sure it's more teeth, more noise, more
grit,
whatever.
Yeah.
And so, in simple terms, the fact that you are consistently asking yourself these questions and you are consistently looking for that way that you feel is bigger,
yeah,
then you're on track.
I still go back to behaviours that are...
Of course.
Yeah. No, I think, okay, and that's what I say, I feel okay with that. I don't beat myself up and say
to others. Oh, none of it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
But the thing that will support you most in that is actually asking the people around you to support you when you do that.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I'm here to help you live a more extraordinary life.
Yeah.
And this is kind of how it looks.
Yeah.
And I want you to do the same for me. Hey, if I go there, I want you to support me the way I would support you.
Yeah, nice. I really like that.
That is the point where we have to hold ourselves to a high level of account, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if we set people up to include us and then we subvert that, now we don't subvert that deliberately necessarily, however we still can subvert it, then that's where we lose a lot of trust and a lot of that power. And so there has to be a mechanism even for that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that actually brings us back to what we talk about, responsibility equals power, back in episode 45. It kind of links in a bit where we take responsibility for how we're being and how we're showing up. And, there's a whole new levels that we could talk about that, but we're not going to get into that right now because that would be a whole new episode.
Okay, it is.
And I'm actually aware that we didn't do the hand signals. We talked about the first one, and I take responsibility for derailing the episode because I had a long monologue in the middle there.
So, I pointed at you though. I pointed it now. You were doing this one, the upside down timeout. It's quite good. I felt, he's talking to me, right?
Upside down timeout.
Listen to me. Yeah. Not do what I say. Listen to me. Upside down timeout.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
You just taught me that. I didn't know I was.
But I did the wall. That's enough. So that's my ear. I'm just pointing and I'm going, just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the next episode with those.
Okay.
Thanks, gentlemen. It's been an extraordinary one. I'd love to actually keep talking about this topic for another half hour, but that's enough for now.
I reckon between Luke and I, the bully will come back.
I have no doubt. Yeah, there's a bit in there, but we work through it.
Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been another awesome episode. Look forward to catching you on the next one.
Thank you.
You too.
This has been Ross Pepper, Alistair McDonald, and Luke Farrar for the Ross, Al, and Luke Show. If you wish to get in contact regarding the show, please reach out to us via email at rossluke@gmail.com. That's rossluke@gmail.com. To discover more about myself, Ross Pepper, please visit my website, rosspepper.com. To check out Al and discover what he can do for your team, please visit his website, alistairmcdonald.com.au. And if you're ready for an awesome sign for your business, be sure to visit Luke at lfsigns.com.au. This has been the Ross, Al, and Luke Show. Thanks for listening and have a spectacular day.